Welcome to CBJ in 30.
I'm sure this will be a real bonding experience. Maybe one day, one of you will even write a book about it in jail.
You give us 30 minutes, and we'll give you all you want to know about your Columbus Blue Jackets and the NHL.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Now, here's your host, who has a few opinions of his own.
Well, Lottie frickin' duh!
Bob McGilligan.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
Well, that pretty much sums it up right there, doesn't it? We're feeling good. The postseason is finally upon us. Welcome to the first ever playoff edition of CBJ and 30. I'm your host, Bob McElligott. The Blue Jackets capped off the regular season last night in Toronto. They did it with a win. They snapped their six-game losing streak. They won the game by the score of 3-2, and they came home taking the day off today and getting into the mindset of playoff hockey, because it starts with a practice tomorrow morning at Nationwide Arena before the team boards a plane and heads back to Pittsburgh, where they'll open their best-of-seven series with the Penguins on Wednesday night at 7:30. Oh, it's finally here. It has seemed like forever. And after the game on Saturday in Philadelphia, it just felt like it didn't feel like the end of the world, but it really felt like, what's it going to take for this team to find itself once again? And I thought they did yesterday. I really do. And they did it with Alexander Wennberg, Scott Hartnell, and Seth Jones healthy scratched, to give them a break for a day or two. And they didn't play. Other guys stepped in, took full advantage of the opportunity that they were given, and it was fun to watch. Fell behind 2-0, came roaring back with three straight goals, and then went on to get the win. So, man, feeling good. That's where we are sitting today, and hopefully we'll be feeling better before the week is done. Today is a Monday mailbag edition of CBJ and 30. That means that I will take your questions. Did you ever overschedule yourself, or did you ever schedule something for yourself that you thought was a really good idea when you did it, and then when it comes to doing it, it turned out to be a really bad idea? I did that today because weeks ago, I made an orthodontist appointment, and I thought that there might be some practice or something today. I wasn't sure. I just knew the regular season ended yesterday. Wasn't sure what was going to happen today, so I make myself an appointment at 8 o'clock in the morning. What am I thinking? Now, I'm thinking I usually get up, help to get the kids ready for school, drive one of them to school, so I'm up anyway, but I was so tired. I was almost falling asleep in the chair as they were taking off my braces today. That was what was worth going for me. After 9 months, gone. Now I have to get used to feeling normal again. Well, for me, nothing's normal, but I got to get used to my mouth feeling normal again after doing all those games all winter. So I want to thank Dr. James Hutta and his staff. They were great the entire way through. I'm not done seeing them yet, but they were fantastic with the process. It was something I wasn't even going to do. I thought, forget about it. Why am I going to do this? I talked to him about it and did it, and it was great. And again, they treated me fantastic up there. But I did say to him this morning, I said, listen, I don't know if I should get these taken off. I mean, I've had them on all season. This has been the best season in franchise history. Maybe I should leave them on. And he looked at me and he said, there was just a six-game losing streak. How about getting those things off and go to the playoffs? So he's right. James Hutt is a smart man. And his guidance and all the stuff that he did with my teeth is much appreciated. But I'm like dragging now. I'm feeling good, but I'm feeling tired. And there's going to be no rest for the weary this week. This is going to be a week of adrenaline. It's going to be all adrenaline starting tomorrow. Practice tomorrow, fly to Pittsburgh. Wednesday morning, there will be probably no skate for the Blue Jackets, but the Penguins will skate. So we'll go to the arena. It'll be a buzz with media. I just can't wait. It's going to be fun. It's going to be irritating. It's going to be absolutely irritating. The scrum in front of Sidney Crosby's locker is going to be brutal. It always is, but it'll be extra brutal during the playoffs. There will be people everywhere. It'll be hard to get around, get what you're looking for. We're going to do extended pregame coverage, an hour pregame show on the radio network before every game. Some of that will be streamed live. The home stuff will certainly be streamed live, and some of the stuff on the road is going to be streamed live. I'll let you know all about that and where you can find the extra content. So we're going to be busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest, as they say, and I can't wait to do it. I can't wait. But that's why I can complain about being tired today. I need to take a nap today, maybe, or at least go to bed early tonight, because starting tomorrow, it's game on for sure. Right now, it's game on with the Monday Mailbag, because it's time for me to answer your questions.
I want to know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide. I want to know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind.
The first question today is from Garrett, and Garrett simply says, why did yesterday's win feel so good? And that's how he spelled it, I'm telling you. Not so good, so good. I've got to read them like they're written. Garrett, I have an easy answer for you. The reason it felt so good was not because the Blue Jackets snapped out of a six-game losing streak. It was not because it was the last game of the regular season and now we can get on to the playoffs. It felt so good because we found something in that game last night. You and I, we found something, and you know it. You know what that something is. I know you know what that something is. I know what that something is, and I know that you know what that something is. And I know that you know that I know that you know what that something is. Do you know what it is? We found the Blue Jackets again. That's right. Found the Blue Jackets. I said that after the game last night. I said, we found the Columbus Blue Jackets that played most of the season. There they are. Because what did they do? They fell behind, yes. Okay, fine. Made some mistakes, hung their goaltender out to dry a couple of times. Okay. It's not okay, but it happened. So, okay, deal with it. And then, all of a sudden, they came back. Curtis McElhinney, their former teammate, was playing a great game for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I was getting ready to go ballistic because he was making saves that he normally wouldn't make in practice. Oh, that's not fair. I like Curtis. That sounded very harsh. I didn't mean to sound harsh. I like him a lot. He's a great guy, but my God, he was making me mad because he was coming up with some fantastic saves. I saw him make the save on Sidney Crosby the night before that basically won the game for the Maple Leafs and got them a playoff spot. And he was making saves like that again yesterday, and I was like, are you kidding me? Come on. Are you kidding me? How's he doing this? And then all of a sudden, Matt Calvert takes the puck, goes in on the left wing side, goes to the backhand, and Matt Hunwick, the defenseman for the Toronto Maple Leafs, he thinks that Calvert might pass it, so he slides to the ice to take away the pass, actually is running into McElhinney as Calvert shoots off the backhand. McElhinney's taken a little bit out of position, puck goes in the net. Ta-da! 2-1. Just like that, 2-1. And then Blue Jackets are in their own zone. Josh Anderson gets the puck. Jake Gardner, the defenseman for the Maple Leafs, catches an edge with nobody around him. Falls down. Nobody close to him. Falls down. Anderson takes off in a 2-on-1. Forehand, bury it inside the far post. 2-2 game. And then the Blue Jackets take a penalty, which they did a lot in the first period. 6 minutes worth of power play time for Toronto in the first period. Second period, they take a penalty. Matt Calvert's out on the penalty kill. He's got 3 shorthanded goals on the year. Leads the team in that category. Ends up getting the puck, coming down the ice. Jack Johnson is driving the net, and Jack Johnson's taking one of the Maple Leafs with him. He's taking him right there with him. And Matt Calvert looks as though he's looking to make a pass to Jack Johnson, maybe shoot the puck, who knows. And all of a sudden, the third man comes into the play as Cam Atkinson is calling for the puck, hustling down the ice, calling for the puck. Calvert gives it to him in the high slot, picks his spot, wrist shot, buries it, 35th goal of the year, 3-2 lead, and then it was all about playing defense. And Garrett, this is why we felt so good about the win yesterday. The checking, the forecheck, the breaking up passes, the blocking shots, the forcing Toronto to battle for every square inch of ice they got yesterday. That's the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's what I mean when I say we found the Blue Jackets yesterday. And Cam Atkinson was at the lead. He was the lead dog. What am I trying to say? He was at the top of the list. He was leader of the pack. He was out in front. He got benched in the third period on Saturday in Philadelphia, and rightfully so. And he was not happy. After the game, to say he was not happy is a very big understatement. But boy, did he ever bounce back yesterday. I love how he bounced back yesterday. And that's what it's about. Answer the bell. When you're challenged, stand up and answer the bell. Don't meekly go walking off and find a corner to hide in. Stand up to the challenge. And Cam Atkinson did that yesterday. He and Matt Calvert, two of the smaller guys in stature on the team, with the biggest roles yesterday. Calvert with a goal and an assist. Atkinson game-winning goal. And there you have it, 3-2. Blue Jackets win. That's why we felt so good, because the identity returned in that game. The identity has returned. As another Slapshot reference, it's not identity, but my allergies to these fans hath returned. All right, let's move on. Jason R. Tort said that Gabriel Carlson will be with the team, so do you think he could dress for game one? Jason, last week, I believe it was last week, somebody asked me a question. I believe it was Jason Messick. If I'm wrong, I apologize. But I was asked on this show if the Blue Jackets would go off book and bring Carlson up and have him play in the playoffs, first round pick. And I said, there's no way in God's green earth that's going to happen, because he's only played three games on North American ice. He's got to adjust to the size of the rink, and they're not going to put him in that position. Great call, Bob. Great call. Listen, I'm happy to be wrong on this. Jason, there's a very good chance he will play in game one. There's a good chance. Now, let's break this down a little bit further, okay? He's played well. He's impressed John Tortorella in Philly on Saturday and yesterday in Toronto. But let's just say he's going to get in. Let's figure out where he gets in. I think Zach Werenski comes back for game one. Not 100% sure, but I think he comes back for game one. If he's back, automatic, he and Seth Jones are together. Automatic, Jack Johnson and David Savard are together. And then you've got the third pair. And I think Kyle Quincy's in this game no matter what. You need that veteran presence, 54 playoff games in the NHL. I think you need it. But the other spot is up for grabs. I think Scott Harrington is, I think he's the guy that John Tortorella is talking about when he says, I'm not happy about some of the things on our back end. I got to look at that. He's looking to upgrade. I think he's looking to upgrade on Harrington. Now, of course, Nudavara is already there. And Nudavara moves the puck, and John Tortorella likes that. So, to me, it comes down to this. If you're going to put Carlson in, are you going to take Nudavara out? You're not going to take Quincy out and have two rookies playing. You're not, because you would have to split up the other pairs to compensate. You wouldn't put those two together on a pair. I'm saying this now, and it's going to happen on Wednesday. It'll be two rookies on a pair. Watch. And I'll look foolish again. But, hey, here's the thing. John Tortorella is going to take the six guys he thinks gives him the best chance to win. If Gabriel Carlson is one of them, he's going to play. Even if that means Marcus Nudavara, who's been here all year, gets bumped out on the last day because he feels Carlson could play the role better, that's what's going to happen. If that's what is determined, that's what's going to happen. So, Jason, I could now see him, 7 days later, I could now see him being in the lineup for game one. I'm not saying it's going to happen. And I'm laughing because, I sound like a politician for crying out loud. Last week I just said something completely different, and now I've got to change my tune. But anyway, Ashley Ferguson has a similar question. Who's your top six to start game one of the playoffs? See, I would go with Nudavara and Quincy, Savard, Johnson, Werenski, Jones. And I would do that because Nudavara has done good things. He has learned at the NHL level, and Jody Shelley told me, no matter who you are, game one of the playoffs, first shift on the ice, it's going to feel like your hair's blowing back. That's what the energy is going to be like. Like you're standing in front of a huge fan. Bam! It's going to hit you right in the face. So can Nudavara deal with that a little bit more since he's been here playing against top teams in the league all year? Yeah, I think so. But, man, Carlson is a compelling argument because of his size and the wingspan that he has. So I'm going to predict Nudavara. But if it goes to Carlson, it won't surprise me. I'll still be wrong. I won't come back and say, well, you know, I won't make an excuse for it. I won't. But I could see it. I'm trying. You know what? I'm so good at reading Torts' mind sometimes. He says I'm not. I think I am. I think there are many times I know what he's going to do or know what he's going to say. And he says I don't know. But then he says exactly what I think he was going to say anyway. But this one, I don't know where he's going on it. I don't know which direction he's going. It'll be interesting to watch. It's the question of the day tomorrow for sure. Colton says, do you think that Jonas Korpisalo can come in and play at a high level if need be? Absolutely. Absolutely. No question. No doubt. Eric Seeds, how's your playoff beard look? You won't see it, Eric. I'm not trying to be a spoil sport. I'll be honest with you. I just can't grow one. It'll look terrible. It would look terrible. And now it's coming in with some white in it. I don't know how that happened. Probably all the worrying I do about whether or not this team's going to get itself straightened out. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But, no, I'm not kidding about the white. No, some of that's there. Truth be told, some of that's there. So, yeah, I just can't. It would look bad. I've got to be on a TV screen from time to time. You know, Eric, I'm no Jody Shelley. I can't grow a nice-looking TV beard. Joshua Paul L. says, here's his question. You talk about going off script. McDonald's, Hardee's, or Burger King? You know, when I was a kid, we didn't have a Burger King in our small town. And we had to travel to Johnstown to go to the mall. The mall was in Johnstown. It's about a 30-minute drive. So we would go to Johnstown, Pennsylvania, go to the mall, and then many times stop at the Burger King because my dad loved Burger King, loved the flame broiled burger. That's what he lived for that. So we didn't have one in our town. We had a McDonald's Burger King. So Burger King was really special. Now, Hardee's I didn't even run into until I moved to North Carolina to do baseball. And that's unique, too. I like some of the stuff they have because they go, you know, outside the box a little bit. And they'll do some different things with some different, you know, toppings, hot peppers especially. I don't mind that. My stomach minds it. I don't mind it. But anyway, I guess as I normally do, I'm going to go back and reattach myself to my childhood, which when I was growing up, my childhood sucked. It was terrible. I had the worst parents. I was never allowed to do anything, never had any fun, and it was the most awful thing in the world. Now that I'm grown up and look back, it was the best thing ever, and I learned so much, and I got to experience so many things, and I had so much fun. Funny how that works. If you are not of the age where you've found that to be true yet, you will. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know exactly the feeling that I get when I think about that. So I'm going to reattach myself to my childhood and go back to the King. All right. Next question. J Dubs, how much of an effect will not having home ice be in this series? I think it'll be zero unless it gets to game seven. And then you've got to play in Pittsburgh and that will be quite the challenge. But I don't think it may. Listen, if the Blue Jackets can go in and win game one, they take home ice advantage away, basically. Okay? So that's the focus. Go in and win game one. There's a lot of focus on game one, believe me, just to set the tone. If you can go in and do it on the road and take a game from them right off the bat, smack them in the jaw right away, stun them with a sucker punch, that would be huge. Phantom says, what do you think will be the biggest series upset in both the Eastern and Western Conference playoffs this year? Oh, biggest. Well, I think it'll be a great upset when the Toronto Maple Leafs knock off the Washington Capitals. That'll be fantastic. Okay, I hope that happens. I'm not predicting that's going to happen. I really hope that happens, though. And I hope it happens because then if the Blue Jackets win their series, they would have home ice throughout the rest of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Biggest upset in the East. Let's see. If it's not going to be that one, and let's just say that, again, I hope it's that one, but maybe the can the Rangers beat the Canadiens? Boy, that's going to be a matchup of two good goaltenders. I'm going to pick that one. Or this isn't the whole playoffs. I'm just going to go with this round because who knows who's going to be, you know, what are you going to say that Washington's going to get upset by, I don't know, if they'd have to get upset by the Maple Leafs for it to be the biggest surprise. So let's just go with this round, and let's say the Rangers take out the Canadiens. Canadiens still don't have a lot of scoring. Rangers have been just waiting forever. They've locked themselves into that position, it seems like a million years ago, so that they could cross over and play in that division. Over in the West, first round playoff upset. How about Calgary at Calgary and Anaheim? What about that one? That would Calgary's a wild card. The Ducks are the number one there. Yeah, I'm going to take that one. Calgary hasn't won in Anaheim in like 100 years, but who cares? I'm still going to take it. What the heck? Next. Oh, got to push the right button and I can get to the next question here. And let's see what that question is. Katie Trimmer. Do you think Torts will go back to lines from the 16-game winning streak or use new lines made in the last stretch of the season? Well, he can't go back to the winning streak lines because Lucas Sedlak is unavailable. But I think, I know this. Yesterday put Boone Jenner back with Brandon Dubinsky and Cam Atkinson. They're going to stay together for the playoffs. So, boom, you've got that one set. Then I would imagine it'll go back to Wennberg, Saad, and Foligno. Then I cannot see him taking apart the Calvert, Carlson, Anderson line by any means. And that leaves you Gagne, Hartnell, and who am I missing there? Missing somebody else on the other side. Gagne and Hartnell and, I can't even think of who I'm missing. I said Saad, right? Saad, Wennberg, Foligno. Who the heck am I missing? It's going to drive me crazy. Well, whoever the other guy is, that's who's going on that line, right? Whoever the other guy is. Yesterday, Wennberg sat. Sedlak's out. Oh, for goodness sakes, Oliver Bjorkstrand is the other guy. I don't know if he plays there. It's going to be interesting because Torts has said he's got to be in the top six. What is the top six? So does that mean you're going to put him with Wennberg and Saad and put Foligno? Ugh. Katie, I can't even think about it. I'm getting a headache just trying to think about it, for crying out loud. I don't know what he's going to do. I'll tell you better tomorrow. Tim Kresman, thoughts on the Blue Jackets awards? Jack Adams, Vezina, maybe others. I think Sergei Bobrovsky should get the Vezina. I really do. Jack Adams Award for the Coach of the Year. I can tell you it's voted on by the broadcasters. I voted for him. I voted for Torts. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tell you flat out. I think he deserves it. I also think that since the Maple Leafs made it, Mike Babcock might get it, to be honest with you. As far as the others, I don't know. But the two that you brought up are the two big ones. And I think they get one of the two. I would be thrilled if they got them both. Next one. Next question coming from Panda. Hello, Panda. Oh, Panda's a troll, actually. This is awesome. Panda, the Panda is a troll. Could that be any kind of a children's story? Probably not. But Panda says, how many concussions does Dubinsky have to cause in order for it to be considered a successful postseason? Well, as many as possible. Of course, Panda, whatever it takes. I say that tongue-in-cheek. I say that in jest. You know, just stop. Don't worry about it. That sounds like, the Panda sounds like somebody that's already concerned about the series, to be honest with you. Because you don't take time to type that and send it unless you're drunk or you're worried about the opposition in the series. And I'm going to say it was B. All right? That's my guess. And I'm full of guesses. Some of them are even right. Jared Watkins says, who's in the lineup and who sits? Well, we've kind of talked about that already. Lauri Korpikoski will sit at forward. And on defense, again, if Gabriel Carlson has impressed John Tortorella enough to get into the lineup, he'll be there, and Nudavara and Harrington will be out. And again, this is all under the premise that Zach Werenski plays. If Werenski doesn't play, I think you will see Nudelvara on the third pair with Quincy, and I think you could see Carlson up with Seth Jones. I really do. It's not completely out of the realm of possibility. How's that? Next one. Uber CBJ fans. How many games in a 7-game series can Sergei Bobrovsky realistically play? How many can he realistically play? 7 games in a 7-game series. And then the next series, he would play 7 games in a 7-game series. And then the next series, he would play 7 games in a 7-game series. And then in the final series, he would play 7 games in a 7-game series. If you see Jonas Korpisalo again before the Blue Jackets are done playing this year, something went wrong. That's how it is. No offense, Jonas, but we don't want to see you again. Not till next year. Sergei Bobrovsky will be the guy. Barring any unforeseen circumstances, he'll be the guy that will go every day. Next question comes in via Twitter, at Bobby Mac Sports, from Neil Anderson. Heading into the playoffs, this young team is a little short on playoff experience. Is that a positive or a negative? It's a little of each, to be completely honest with you, Neil. It's good to have the experience because then you know what you're facing and you know how to handle what you're facing. But when you don't have much experience and you're just playing and having fun, that can go a long way too. So they're going to go up against one of the most experienced teams in the NHL, and they're going to be one of the least experienced ones. But I don't mind their chances because I think they're just, as John Tortorella would say, I think they're having a ball. And he said a million times that he's going to let him play. He's just going to let him loose and let him play. So I don't think it's a terrible thing. Susie Q, 4160. Is Murray expected to be back before the first round is over? That would depend on how long the first round lasts, to be honest with you, Susie. And to me, it's more realistic second round for Ryan Murray than it is first round. Let me ask you this question. Let's play devil's advocate here. Let's say Ryan Murray is healthy and Gabriel Carlson is playing so well, or Marcus Nudavara is playing so well, or Kyle Quincy's playing so well. What if Murray can't get back into the lineup? What a great problem that would be to have, wouldn't it? But he's not healthy yet, so that doesn't even come into play. Billy the Kid. I thought he was dead. Billy the Kid says, what do you think it's going to take for this team to bounce the Penguins? Physical play. And I don't mean dumb physical play. I mean smart physical play. I mean forecheck, forecheck, forecheck. They've got to pound on the Penguins' defensemen. They've got to get the body on the forwards. They've got to spend the first two games wearing the Penguins down for games 3 and 4. Because it will be methodical. Everything you do now will take its toll. Every action will have a reaction. Every cause will have an effect. And even if you don't get what you're looking for in game one, you need to keep playing the same way. Because by game 3 or 4, all of a sudden you're going to find that what you've been doing is having some success. And now you're creating more because you're beating them up and they're getting tired. So I really think if they want to knock the Penguins out of the playoffs in the first round, they have got to be physical as they have ever been. But it can't be stupid and taking penalties. It's got to be clean. It's got to be hard checking. It's got to be tight checking. And if you get the occasional chance to light somebody up, flip the switch and light them up. Because it will be that physical play that will wear on Pittsburgh. The team has a lot of guys out. Oh, they'll have them back. Don't worry. But even at that, they played 106 games last year. Short summer. That's why it's so hard to repeat in this league. And that's why nobody's done it for a long, long time. So you got to start hitting them on Wednesday, and you have to keep hitting them until it's over. Jeremy Hayes said, I've heard you and John Tortorella talk about how plus-minus is a somewhat bogus stat. Why is that? Well, let me give you this example, all right? Let's say you get the puck in your defensive zone and you pass it out to the neutral zone. And upon making that pass, you go straight to the bench and you have another guy hop over the boards. And while you get on the bench and he comes out on the ice, your team scores a goal. You got an assist. Let's just say it was 2 passes. You sent it to the neutral zone. They sent it to somebody else. Score. But you were on the bench, so you don't even get a plus because you were not technically on the ice when the goal was scored. you will get an assist, but you will not have a plus. Let's go with the flip side. You're on the bench. It's your shift. Your guy's coming to the bench. You're about to jump over to the boards. The guys that are out there turn it over. Guy walks in, scores a goal. You just jumped off the bench, had no chance in the play, and all of a sudden, you're a minus one. Why? Because you were there. Might not have been your fault, but you were there. So those are just two examples of how it can be a misleading stat. And that's why, you know, to me, if you see a guy that's minus 20, there's a problem. Then he's a defensive liability because it's not just all an accident here and there. All right? But like the other day, Gabriel Carlson was a minus 3 against Philadelphia. He didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't his lack of good play. He just happened to be on the ice at the wrong time when somebody else made a mistake. So his game was better than a minus 3. And that's why I hope that helps you to understand why it is why it can be misleading. But if it's really high plus, that means that you're consistent. You're always out there when goals are scored. If it's a really high negative, that means defensively you have some problems. And you must not do your job well enough defensively because a lot of goals are scored when you're on the ice. Dustin Gosa says, considering the sorry state of officiating in hockey, how do you think that will affect the playoffs? Good or bad for us? Both. Some calls will be good. Some calls will be bad. I just hope that they don't start these tight calls in the playoffs. For the last 2 months, they've been letting them play. There have been a whole bunch of things that I thought should be a penalty that haven't been called a penalty. They've just let them play. And that's fine if you keep doing it in the playoffs. If all of a sudden you start calling every little tiny thing, that's going to be terrible. So that's the part I want to see. But Dustin, listen, there's not a ref, you're not going to believe this, and I have a hard time believing it as I say it. There's not a ref or a linesman that's going to win or lose the game for you. Okay? They might make a bad call, but that's only going to affect you if you can't overcome said call. You've got to learn to overcome all that stuff. You can't let them be a part of the game. It's as simple as that. The next tweet comes from James, who says, the Blue Jackets win gave me my confidence back. Again, thank you for your honesty and your candidness. Hey, if I didn't have that, James, what would I have? But I'm glad you got your mojo back. You're like Austin Powers. You got your mojo back with that win yesterday. Luke Manning, fair or unfair to expect series win? What kind of a question is that, Luke? Of course it's fair. Why wouldn't you expect a series win? What, do you want to expect to lose? If you expect to lose, you're going to lose. You'll be a loser, Luke. Expect to win. More than fair. Perry White. Oh, this is funny. So I'm reading the name, and now I'm reading the question. This is funny. Perry White wants to know who is on the Black Aces squad. Perry White wants to know about the Black Aces. Ha! How ironic is that? Okay. Perry White, aren't you busy editing the Daily Planet? All right, enough of the dumb jokes. Nobody knows. First of all, the Cleveland Monsters may get into the playoffs. And if they do, then you're going to have less people here. If they don't, then you will have a Black Aces squad, as it is called, which will be players that get called up. They will practice. They will be around the team. But they are here simply as either an insurance policy or to get the experience of being around in the NHL in this kind of a situation. So they won't play necessarily. They might get in if there's enough injuries, but they'll just be around and be here as insurance. And I don't know how many guys they're going to bring when it comes to that. You know, probably Milano, I would guess. You'll bring a third goaltender. Forsberg would come. But I'm not 100% sure. And those guys will practice. I don't know that they necessarily practice with the team, especially with the three goalies. You're not going to get three goalies in a regular practice in the playoffs. So they work around all of that stuff. But I don't know how many guys. Cleveland still has two games left to play, and they are in a tie with Charlotte. Charlotte has a game in hand, however. They have three games left to play. So if the Charlotte Checkers, you know, win that extra game, I guess they get in as it stands right now. So we'll have to wait and see. Jessica Burt says, will the Blue Jackets playoff series be aired on Fox Sports Ohio as well? Yes, it will be on Fox Sports Ohio, and it will be on NBC Sportsnet. But, of course, all you have to worry about is it'll be on the Blue Jackets radio network, and no matter which one of those channels you're watching, you can turn down the sound. It's very simple. Tyler Barwick says, I know that Torts said he wasn't worried about home ice advantage until Game 7, but do you think not being able to always match up against Crosby and Dubinsky, those first two games will have a big impact, and do you think that could spell doom for the Blue Jackets, or will they adjust? I don't think it will spell doom. Listen, you can't have him out there immediately, but you can get him out there pretty quickly. And here's the fact of the matter, to be honest with you, Tyler. Some other guys are going to have to take the responsibility of playing against Sidney Crosby, too. It can't be just Brandon Dubinsky. Alexander Wenberg's got to play against him. Sam Gagner's got to play against him. William Karlsson has got to play against him. You know who Karlsson's played well against this year? Malkin. And he'll get that matchup. But it's not going to spell doom. It's, you know, it's I don't think Torts plays a matchup game that much anyway, to be honest. He's just told us three times in the last week that X's and O's don't matter anymore in coaching the game. It's all about the psychological coaching of the game. So psychologically coaching, you've got to motivate some of those other guys to go out there and play well against Crosby and not expect Dubinsky to do it 100% of the time. So I don't think it's going to spell doom or anything close to doom. It's going to be fine. Let's relax. Let's have fun. Let's enjoy, because it is going to be fun, by God. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, practice tomorrow and then departing for Pittsburgh. And after practice, we'll be able to tell you a lot more about what's going on just by the line combinations, the defensive pairings, and all that stuff. And that's not even a guarantee that what we see tomorrow is going to happen on Wednesday. But it will certainly give us a better view into the future, into the playoffs, for the Columbus Blue Jackets. We're going to do this Monday mailbag as long as they stay in the postseason. So hopefully we're going to do it for a long time. John Tortorella said yesterday, this is the start of a 60-day season. And he's right. If you win it all, you're basically looking at another 2 months. You've got to find a way to put together 16 wins. 16 more wins. You know, if the Blue Jackets tied their franchise-long winning streak, they could get this taken care of quickly. I'm kidding. That's not going to happen by any means. But getting that first win and doing it on Wednesday, oh, that would be nice. Much more to talk about as we go on every day on this show. Thank you for your questions, as always. And maybe, I don't want to make promises, but maybe, just maybe, instead of, I said we'll do this Monday mailbag, maybe we should not limit it. Maybe I should just open it up and kind of let it go day by day. Because you're going to have questions every day. There will be questions that you would like answered every day. And even though I may not answer every single question every day, maybe we'll just start interspersing questions throughout this, because we're all in it together. We are all in it together. As John Tortorella said about the coaching staff and the team, it's not us and them. It's us. Same here. Same here. We've got to all be in that frame of mind. It's not us and them. You know, they're playing for us. We're cheering for them. It's us together. So it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Can't wait. Be back with you again tomorrow as we'll continue to get ready for Game 1. Columbus Blue Jackets, Pittsburgh Penguins, Round 1 of the Stanley Cup Playoffs. Till then, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long. I'll talk-